New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We are the Old School Crew. Before we get into it, big shout out to Uncle Kev, as we like to call him, Meyer Cork and Bottle, 13th and South. Always good for him to come in and bring the vibe. Great libations and education on Thirsty Thursday, a.k.a. Eric Strickland, end of the week holiday. But me and Austin, we're old school. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Mat, 168th and Maple up there in the O. A lot going on, obviously continuous in Nebraska football, you know, from the, you know, beginning of the week and so forth and so on. At the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we usually do Whiteboard Wednesdays. Yesterday was National Signing Day. So we allowed the youngsters that's going to come in and change everybody's program, to take precedent, but we're going to do a whiteboard.
It better make it worth it.
It is worth it. It was a little bit extended version, and then we'll have something actually cooking here where we'll be able to. I'm working on trying to get a projector and a little pointer, work on some things, season review, stuff like that. But the whiteboard would be good. Since Tony White is at Florida State and Terrence Knighton left, everybody is up in arms. Are we going to play a 3-man front, 4-man front? So I'm going to give you my review and show you, besides telling you, that there isn't a big difference or any difference at all. I played in all three defenses, so it's going to be 3-3-5, 3-3-5, 4-3, and 3-4. I have a special picture of what makes the 3-4 work, as you've seen it, Austin, in that last email. And when I talk about this man, I talk about it with it because he was a great dude. Taught me how to be a professional, and he helped me make some money. So anyways, but now since we have about 10 minutes, a little bit of aftermath, you know, you got 48 hours, you know, give or take, you know, Tony White decided to leave in 24 hours after Terrence Knighton left, and the same 48 hours that Dana Holgorsen was named as offensive coordinator, so forth and so on. Obviously, a lot of transition. You got quite a few players that are in the portal from Nebraska and across the nation. There will be even more through the weekend, especially after championship weekend. Then you know how that all shakes out. And some kids want to get started on their next part of their career or where they're going to go next, even if their team is in the college football playoffs, which is, you know, odd to say. You know, you work all year and maybe put 2 years worth of work in, get a chance to be a part of something really special, the first one, and you're in the portal. But, you know, business is business and football is football. Back to Nebraska, I think, we weren't on air on Tuesday. Or at least I wasn't, I should say, but, look, man, I mean, the coaching is a business, and it can't, you know, we have to get past, even if a player goes in the portal or anything like that. And there's different circumstances to every situation. We got to get past of like, oh, well, you know, he hated it here or it was, you know, X, Y, and Z. And if that, there might be some of that to it, but.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
ultimately, when you make a move like that, you feel like it, you start to weigh. Look, you get first and foremost, you got think about your family, right? That's before football. Your family, is who you obviously love and care about, and then you're gonna talk with them, and then you gotta look career wise. What can you do? Where can you continue along the path of ascension through the ranks, and then possibly I'm assuming Tony White eventually wants to be a head coach. To get there, and he saw it as a good opportunity, and we were fortunate enough that he was able to come to Nebraska and revitalize especially one side of the ball and do some stuff that nobody thought could be done, considering that at times I do think that the defense played well over the 3-4 games under Bill Bush, but I think obviously the tenure before wasn't up to standard, and he was able to change it, and he didn't have to. The one thing that I don't think he gets enough credit for is he didn't bat an eye coming in here. He didn't have to be stacked with talent. He developed guys. He got them better. He made a lot out of a little with circumstances and some players. And you hate to see him leave, but then also that he's going to be on the hopefully, well, not bigger and better, but in his case, bigger and better, but different. And then it's up to the Coach Rhule, and I guess Coach Butler is going to be the D coordinator for the bowl game, and then you got to move forward, and then you go from there. I mean, I think this thing right here, the way college football is starting to shake out, when the 105 isn't official, but everybody knows it's officially unofficial. You got to start making moves towards that, and so do the players. And it's going to be a transaction type situation early, and I think the coaches that look at it smartly are going to be able to hang in there tight even in some lean years, and that's whether you lose staff, support staff, add to your support staff, find unique ways to kind of maybe have a little bit of an old school type of mentality and a new age version of this thing of college professional sports, and whoever has the bandwidth to think outside of the box will do really, really well.
And I think that the best example of that is Kirby Smart right now, right? Talk about an old school mentality coming up at Georgia, then with Alabama under Nick Saban, right? He knows the old school mentality.
Right.
But he also knew to pass Nick Saban, to beat Nick Saban, right? Not just to compete with Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. Kirby Smart's goal once he left Alabama was to beat Nick Saban, to elevate Georgia from that 9-3, 10-2 program to that next step. Kirby couldn't afford to do things the exact same way Nick Saban did. No. He had to take what Nick Saban did, what made him successful, those principles, figure out what worked for him, what worked for Georgia, what fit. But then what Kirby Smart did, I don't want to say better than Nick Saban, but what you get some credit for is adjusting to the new age, right? Saban did it with his offense. He modernized when Lane went there and threw all the other different offensive coordinators. Kirby Smart did that from the get-go.
Yeah.
The best coaches in college football innovate. It's not that they're just these scheme guys that never talk to their players, never have relationships, and sit alone in their office all day. The teams that win in college football either innovate in terms of scheme, in terms of player recruitment, sometimes legal, sometimes not legal, depending on the era, or in player retention and development.
Yeah.
If you're not innovating in at least one of those areas, you're probably not going to be a top 25 team consistently.
Yeah, and he's done it, and the principles of Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, whoever wins this year, because when you look at the top 12 teams that potentially are getting in, they're all built the same. Those principles generally don't deviate off that path too far. And that's just, obviously you got to be extremely physical, fundamentally sound, low penalties and turnovers. And then obviously you got to develop and have, great athletes out there, but you got to have a big percentage of in well over 65%. Easily trending towards 75%. Obviously when we played, it was more in the high 90s or mid 90s percent of your team invested into the team, knowing that your individual stuff will come within that. And so I think it's generally the flip part of that. 35% is where you need, and that's where you see the different teams every year, and then you get a good 2-year run, and then you got to keep that up. And I think it's going to be a 2 or 3 year run where you can be really, really good. You plateau a little bit and then come back up towards top. And so a lot of that, whether you dip or you're trying to get up into that, position where you're, 8 to 10 wins and then you can get a special year, is you know, also you can't panic, right? Yeah. You can't scrap it every single time. Here's an example, and I'll say this, you know, unfortunately for my dad, he didn't make it past the final 30, right? We had a long talk about it, and of course he's upset, and you know, as he should be, you know, definitely unbiased. I think he should be in. But I had some ideas based on what he was doing to maybe elevate that. Roger Craig didn't get in either, which is the two most prominent multi-purpose backs are not in. I think they should combine forces. San Francisco, Viking fans, Nebraska fans, so forth and so on. Even Roger stretches up into Iowa. My dad's on the East Coast as well. My point is this. When you're frustrated and disappointed, right? Maybe at times during this year or at any team, right? You don't panic and scratch it and say, we got to start over. You got this far for a reason. For my dad, he's never been this far in the process before. So you're doing something good, right? Because you came three steps versus zero. So now let's see what we did with three to get to three. Tidy that up and then add to it by expanding what I call our bandwidth. And that's the same thing when you're thinking about, say you had aspirations to, like if Ole Miss doesn't make it, right? They put a lot of money in NIL for their roster, probably second to, or maybe third to Ohio State, Texas A&M. They could go back and forth. I'm sure Texas has, but the ones that are out in front,
that
right?
We know.
So you can't say, okay, well, now next year we're not going to spend any. You know what I mean? You say, okay, well, maybe we need to find a way to spend the same or a little bit more, but more effectively. Maybe we need to, you know, fidget with the percentages to certain parts of our team and then also really look at what's coming down the pipe based on the 105 and development. So, you know, I think that's, you know, kind of when you lose staff members and two coaches that are obviously very prominent, both in their production of being able to have, you know, good positions or good defensive group and good position group, is that you can't panic. You got to go out there and understand that, you know, you're doing some good things. Nebraska is a blue blood and appealing. And if you can get this thing back to where you're in this weekend or in this conversation of the final 12 or better yet top 15, because I think you could be on the outside looking in. Some things happen, you can get in. That elevates you two or three times faster than going somewhere and panicking or blowing it up and panicking and just coming in with a whole new crew.
And that's where, to use maybe a Nebraska example, the Marcus Satterfield and Dana Holgerson thing, right? Some people said, oh, it's a panic move. Other people say it's a change move. You panic if you don't have a plan. You panic if you feel obligated to do something.
Right.
Sometimes you just come to a point where you have to make a decision, right? Like you said, what you've done has worked to X degree. Let's get it to Y degree, because that has to happen. Change just for change looks like panic. It looks desperate. It smells desperate. It's usually easy to tell. But you also can't be afraid to make change because of how it's perceived.
Yeah,
I mean, you just got to make the right decision. If you come to it sooner, great. If you come to it later, you're probably skating on some thin ice. But yeah. There comes a point where you have to recognize what works, what doesn't work, get enough input from the outside, but trust yourself at the same time. And the problem, I think, for a lot of coaches that they, I'm sure they recognize, but they don't have the time to slow down and think about, is that so many of their moves are graded by did it work or did it not work?
Yeah.
And not even to their standard, to the fan standard, to the outside perspective standard. Because you can go through the perfectly 100% correct hiring process, ask all the right questions, talk to all the right people, exhaust yourself doing all the research you can. You make the best decision.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You get raked over the coals for it. Doesn't mean you were wrong necessarily. It just means it didn't work.
Yeah,
the problem is it's a results-based business.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100%, you know, factual. And that's a great point, Austin. And there's other factors. This is why I like analytics. I think you run into trouble when you go to – listen, Brandon Staley out there, he literally lost the job by analytics, okay? And, you know, kind of make an analogy towards coaching is that you only can make the decision at that point in time for that moment. You got to go through the process and you have to be very comfortable whether it works or doesn't work. What doesn't go into that is we can go back to on paper, and this is not to, you know, this is not a jab at Scott, but I'm just saying this is Scott Frost. This is realistically the 99.9% of the state, probably high 90%, it's not 99%, was like, we have to hire Scott. It's the perfect timing. It's he went, he was in Oregon, worked his way up, went there, got turned around a program. So he can kind of, you figure like he can come in and turn us around. Under Chip Kelly with Helfrich and all that. Turned down other places because you remember he turned down Colorado State.
Florida.
Tennis, all these schools that want him. So then he goes and then he comes here. And then here's another factor that's not in any of the analytics, right? Because it doesn't matter who it was. You know, Kirk Herbstreit, Joe Klatt, Jay Foreman, everybody thought, okay, this is it, right? This is it. He's changed all this other stuff. Then you get here and then it's a hard job if you make it because you got to be able to deal with the pressure. But if you deal with the pressure the right way, it's not as bad unless you don't deal with it right. You got a ton of media obligations. You know, for a small town like Lincoln, you probably have more coverage here than maybe if you were, like if I was the Minnesota Gophers coach or, you know, like PJ Fleck. Mm-hmm. You know, he's only got to face a couple guys, you know, Saturdays after the game and maybe once a week it's like 3-4 guys, right? Because you got Minnesota and everything else. Those are the other factors when you're trying to make these decisions, like you're saying, whether it's Coach Holgorsen or Satterfield, you got to make the best decision for right then also think about long-term with the university or the program. But then also, let's not forget, Dana was here earlier in the year, mm-hmm. and so the timing wasn't right. The timing became right maybe during a bye week, and you had to make a decision. It probably maybe something that had been on the back of your mind for some time. And you know, it is what it is. And so, you know, you just got to get to and it's a learning process. You know, everybody's starting over when you go to, you know, you could, you know, go to, you know, a different place. Like I could win, you know, I could be a very successful coach at just say South Dakota State anymore, but just say South Dakota State when they were a little bit lower, right? Take my whole crew, same thing, and go to Oklahoma State. And it takes a little while to adjust to that type of, you know, Big 12 and that magnitude. And that's why where Deion goes from Jackson State to Colorado and is working, it lets you know that, you know, you're able to trim the fat. And so, you know, I think it's just part of the process and you know, it'll be interesting to see who they hire. And it's pretty good, cool, to, I guess, not cool, but it's good coincidence that we're going to do the whiteboard Wednesday today because then we could talk about the difference because when people would come up to me all the time in Hy-Vee about the three-man front, four-man front, 3-3-5, we're going to do it. They forget that there's a thing called third down and 11 personnel and sometimes 10 personnel and 12 personnel that they play what's called nickel defense, which is a four-man front, so it doesn't really matter what we were playing against base. And they look at me like, I'm talking a different language. So hopefully, you know, obviously online they'll be able to see it. But nevertheless, it's we'll take a quick break and we'll, you know, I got to really go back and look at the class and I'm going to give my thoughts on recruiting now, how that changes based on the 105, because it's interesting because you have to have a very unique and strategic process and point to it. So everybody's looking at, okay, we got to get a bunch of Eric Dickersons and all that. And, you know, we recruit 20 guys, 18 are going to be starting. I think you have to look at it a little bit differently. As long as everything is everything and you're moving, you know, holistically as a team in the right direction. So we'll take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.